Welcome to Money Mastery with your host, Amanda Mangum from Aspire Money Management. Achieving financial confidence means understanding how to navigate market changes, plan for retirement, and make smart money decisions. Money Mastery is here to guide you with strategies, insights, and tools designed to help you pursue your financial goals. Now let's get started with Money Mastery with your host, Amanda.
Hello and welcome to Money Mastery. My name is Amanda Mangum from Aspire Money Management. If you'd like more information about what you hear during our show today, give us a call at 919-342-7715 or visit us online at www.aspiremoneymanagement.net. And while at my website, click on the radio page to check out our past shows or to subscribe to our program on either Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or Amazon Music. If you've ever tried to budget by tracking every purchase, you know how it goes. It works for a few days, maybe a week, or then you miss a day or two, and suddenly catching up feels like a chore you'd rather skip altogether. There's actually a different approach that flips that whole process all around. And today we're going to talk about why it might be easier to stick with it. It's called the anti-budget. And the idea is very simple. Instead of monitoring every dollar you spend, you move more money towards savings and essentials first. Whichever's left in your account after that, it is yours to use freely. No tracking required. It's a concept that fits nicely into the kind of practical, sustainable financial planning I talk about with every client all the time. And I think about the end of today's show a lot when listeners are going to feel about what is something that they can actually put into practice today. But before we actually get started into the details, let me bring on my co-host, Jacqueline, who I always count on to ask exactly the questions our listeners are actually thinking about.
Well, that's very kind of you, Amanda. And honestly, you had me at no tracking required because you know my least favorite word is budget.
That's right. Mine too.
I mean, I think a lot of people are going to hear the anti-budget and immediately want to know more. So I'm looking forward to digging into this one with you today.
Well, let's begin by breaking down a recent Kiplinger article that's headlined, "Tired of Tracking Every Dollar You Spend, You Need an Anti-Budget." Let's talk about how that anti-budget actually works, because it really does come down to three straightforward things. The first is automatically your essentials. That means your rent or mortgage, utilities, insurance, minimum debt payments, the non-negotiables. Those get handled automatically, so you're never something you have to think about or actually remember. The second is automatically your savings and investments before anything else. This is your pay yourself first principle, and it's one of the most powerful shifts someone can make in how they actually think about the money. Instead of saving whatever happens to be left over at the end of the month, you move money towards your future self first, and then you live on what actually remains. And the third piece is simply spending what's left based on what matters the most to you that month without guilt. So without a spreadsheet and without having to make 100 small decisions every single day.
Well, I love the sound of that. And that last part sounds almost too good to be true, Amanda. Is it really just that simple?
It can be, and there's a real research behind it. So Vanguard's How Americans Saves 2025 report, which is highlighted in that Kiplinger article, looked at saving behavior across millions of workers and found that automatic contributions are consistently linked to higher participation and better retirement outcomes. So when the important decisions are made once and then run in the background, people follow through far more reliable than when they have to make those same decisions over and over again. So traditional budgeting asks you to make dozens of micro decisions every single day, and that's exactly where most people run into trouble. So not because they don't care about their finances, but because that kind of system is just hard to sustain. So that setup that actually lasts are the ones that were very crucial to the pieces actually happening automatically. And everything else simply just falls into line after that.
Well, so Amanda, it's less about the willpower and more about building a system that does the work for you, which again, I love the sound of.
That's exactly right. And that's a distinct change here that's very important, especially for anyone who ever feels like they've actually failed at budgeting. It may have not have been a simple discipline problem at all. It may have been a design problem. Now let's talk about how someone actually puts this into practice. Because the good news here is that for most people, this is something you can set up in a single afternoon. The first step is to identify your essentials. So these are going to be expenses that actually exist, like rent, mortgage, utilities, groceries, insurance, transportation, minimum debt payments, and or childcare if that applies. The key question here is to ask yourself, would I cancel this tomorrow without much debate? If the answer is yes, it probably doesn't belong in that essential column. Streamline services, impulse subscriptions, things you signed up for and forget about, those don't count. So the tighter this list is, the clearer your financial baseline actually becomes.
Well, that's a useful filter. You know, it takes some of the guesswork out of it, Amanda.
It really does. So once you start looking at and identifying your essentials, the next step is deciding on your savings and investing targets. And this happens before anything else actually gets spent. So think about your money actually needs to do for you. Retirement contributions, building an emergency fund, setting aside money for expenses you know that will come down the line, like insurance premiums or big moves. If you want a simple starting first point, a common guideline suggests redirecting around 20% of your income towards savings and any extra debt payments after covering your essentials. It's not a hard rule, but it actually gives you a number to work with rather than just leaving you guessing.
Absolutely. And once those targets are set, I'm assuming that's where the automation piece comes in, right?
That's exactly right. So if you set up those on direct deposit, you split those bills so a portion of your paycheck goes straight to your savings or investments before it actually hits your hand or your checking account, your scheduled automatic transfers for the day after payout will leave that money sitting there. And once those pieces are all in place, those decisions have already been made. You don't have to revisit them each and every week. So what remains in your checking account is simply your spending money. So some people find it helpful to keep that in a separate account or on a dedicated debit card. So there's a clear visual boundary. When the balance gets low, it's your signal to slow down with no spreadsheet, no tracking app, and no guilt.
I love that. And some of this kind of sounds like girl math. I like that it removes the mental load from everyday spending, Amanda.
And one last piece I'd add is keeping your priorities visible. It doesn't have to be elaborate. In fact, a short note on your phone is enough. Something like build a $5,000 emergency fund or max out my Roth IRA this year. When you see that and you know that you're working towards that, it's easier to stay connected to your strategy even when you're not actively thinking about it. So you can also decide to advance what's happening when you hit that milestone. For example, once your emergency fund reaches a certain level, you redirect the same automatic transfer towards investing in something different. That system actually keeps that moving forward without you having to reinvest it every single time.
Absolutely. Well, Amanda, let's take a quick pause and let our listeners know how they can schedule a complimentary consultation with you and your team to ask questions or to get more information.
Just give us a call at 919-342-7715 or visit us online at www.aspiremoneymanagement.net. Scheduling consultation only takes a few minutes, and we're always happy to help work around your schedule.
Well, thank you, Amanda. Now, I'm really enjoying this conversation so far. So what's next on today's agenda?
Now, there's a concept woven into anti-budget that I think it's worth naming directly, and that's intentionally spending. So intentionally spending doesn't mean being restrictive. It really just means building a habit of pausing and asking yourself, is this purchase moving forward something that I care about, or is it just something filling a moment? That's a simple question, but over time, it makes a real difference. And research actually supports this, is that we tend to feel better about money when we spend it in ways that align with our values, rather than that's investing in experiences with people we love or simply your day-to-day lives in ways that reduce stress.
Well, do you see this play out with real people, Amanda?
All the time. So thinking about someone who stopped trying to log into their expenses each and every day, but never once missed a retirement contribution because that contribution was automatically tied to everything that was meaningful to them, or someone just starting out who set up an automatic savings towards a security deposit and then let the rest of their paycheck cover everyday expenses without guilt, that system protected that priority and everything else felt free because of it. This is also especially relevant for people whose income isn't the same every month, like freelancers, creators, once in a variable income situation. So systems that demand constant tracking tend to fall apart when that number keeps changing. So what holds it up is securing that essentials and future goals first, and then letting the rest support the life and work they care about without actually needing to monitor every single dollar that comes in.
Absolutely. And it really does seem like a more sustainable way to think about money.
That's the goal. Sustainability beats perfect every time. Now I want to be straightforward about something, because any approach to manage money has takeoffs and trade-offs, and the anti-budget is no exception. The main risk is that spend the rest can quietly expand over time if you've actually never checked in. So lifestyle drift is real, and without any guardrails at all, the freedom that anti-budgeting gives you can work against you. So the good news is that you don't need a complicated system to prevent that. A few simple boundaries go actually a long way. So one approach is to keep your discretionary spending in a dedicated account. So when it's empty, you're done for the month with no shame, no spiral, just a natural stopping point. So most people also find it helpful to set soft limits in specific categories that tend to creep up. So for example, capping delivery apps at a certain amount per month, or switching to groceries once you hit that certain amount, sets small guardrails, which means big impacts actually over time.
Yes. But Amanda, what about those bigger expenses that don't show up every month? You know, things like car insurance or maybe some holiday travel?
So that's actually a great point. Those are what some people call lumpy expenses because they're unpredictable, but they don't fit neatly into a monthly budget. The solution is sinking funds first, small automatic transfers each into your monthly dedicated amount so that money is actually already there when that bill arrives. It keeps a large irregular expense from feeling like a financial emergency. So one more practical note to be aware of is that that automatic flow through calendar, not your automatic pay schedule, so that you actually help redirect on your due dates where it's possible and simply keep a cushion in that account. So even one full paycheck's worth of a buffer can actually prevent small timely mismatch from turning into a big overdraft fee or financial emergency.
Yeah. And for someone who's been tracking every expense up until now, switching to this approach might feel a little unsettling at first. Right, Amanda?
That's right. So it actually can. And there's no need to go cold turkey here. So for the first month or two, keep a light eye on one or maybe even two categories that tend to drift, for what you like, dining out or even online shopping. You're not tracking everything here. You're just spot checking the areas where you know you're vulnerable. So once you see that system actually holding up, the confidence will build from there.
So Amanda, where does someone start if all of this sounds appealing but a little overwhelming?
So start small. So automatically One is savings transfer. So first, put one fixed bill on automatic draft. So choose one clear financial priority for your month to month and fund it consistently. And then let that run for a few weeks and just notice actually how it feels. For a lot of people, the lighter feeling that comes with knowing that that important thing is already handled is exactly what motivates them to actually build from there. So the anti-budget isn't about doing everything perfectly from day one. It's about building a system that works quietly in the background. So your financial life doesn't require consistent effort and attention. And for one who actually feels frustrated and defeated by traditional budgeting, this can actually be a genuinely different experience.
Well, I think that's a really encouraging note, Amanda. Sometimes the best financial advice is to just start somewhere, baby steps.
That's true. And if you're not sure where that starting point is and how the anti-budget approach actually fits into that larger financial picture, that's exactly the kind of conversation worth having with your financial services professional. So everyone's situation is different. An experienced financial services professional can actually help you build a system that's designed around your life rather than relying on genetic templates.
Well, that's a great resource to end on. And honestly, doesn't the phrase financial freedom mean something different to everyone?
That's exactly the right question to ask. And it's one I love talking about with clients because the anti-budget, the automation, and the savings habits are all tools that we can benefit from. But the real goal underlying all of this is more financial freedom. And what that actually means is something we're going to actually dig into right now because it looks different for every single person. So there's actually a great article, Kiplinger article, that speaks about your four-step guide to true financial freedom from a financial professional that frames this up really well. And I want to walk through it with you guys as we wrap up today's show.
Perfect. So what's the first step that this article states?
So the first step is simply defining your financial independence and what that means to you. For some other people, it's the ability to retire early. For others, it's about being able to travel or spend more time with some family or just stop living paycheck to paycheck. And according to the 2025 Goldman Sachs Asset Management Retirement Survey shared in that article, 42% of working Americans are currently in that paycheck to paycheck cycle. And when you're there, financial freedom can feel out of reach. But that article actually makes a great point. It's not about fixed destinations. It's about evolvement. So that key is starting with a clear, honest picture of what you're working towards so that you actually have a direction.
And I imagine that clarity makes every other financial decision easier.
It actually does. So which brings us to the next step. So building systems that create wealth. And you'll notice that this connects directly to everything we've talked about in the first half of the show today. So automatically, your savings and your investments give every dollar a purpose. So building what the article actually calls compounding machines, which are things like retirement accounts, index funds, or real estate that actually grows quietly in the background over time, but protects your downside with an emergency fund approach like insurance and by avoiding high interest debt. And where possible, working towards diversifying your income so that you're not entirely depending on one source of income.
Well, and that last one feels a lot like a longer term goal for most people.
It is, and that's okay. These are all steps, not a checklist you have to complete in a week. So step three is actually reducing debt and expenses. And I want to be clear, this doesn't mean living a joyless, restrictive life. It means being intentional. So not living beyond your means, thinking about careful major purchases, and knowing where your money is actually going. So one point in the article that I think about often gets overlooked. So protecting yourself from cybercrime is perfect for a sound financial strategy. A single online strategy breach can actually set someone back significantly. So that's worth actually taking very seriously.
Well, and that's not something that most people would connect with building a financial strategy, Amanda, but it does make complete sense.
And then that's a step four, that is creating a strategy for the long-term growth. And this is one that is really close to my heart. So the article point is a recent Gallup study that found only 59% of adults have a retirement savings plan. And of those, only about half expect to live comfortably on what they've actually saved. So that's a sobering moment here. And those numbers are real. But here's the piece I want to leave listeners with here today. So financial independence means nothing if your health isn't there to enjoy as well. So building wealth matters, but not on the cost of your well-being. So the goal is to live a life that is financially secure and worth living. And the systems that you've actually talked about here today are designed to help build exactly what you're looking for without burning yourself out in the process.
Well, what a great note to end on, Amanda. Financial freedom isn't just about money. It's about the life that the money makes possible. Anything else?
So if you have any questions about retirement and your financial strategy, visit my website at www.aspiremoneymanagement.net or call my office at 919-342-7715. We'd love to help you build a financial strategy that you're looking for ahead with more confidence and excitement.
Sounds great. Well, thank you again, listeners, for joining us on another episode of Money Mastery with our host, Amanda Mangum.
Thank you for listening to Money Mastery with Amanda Mangum from Aspire Money Management. If you're ready to take the next step toward a stronger financial future, contact Amanda and her team today at 919-342-7715 or visit aspiremoneymanagement.net. Be sure to tune in next week for more financial strategies and insights right here on Money Mastery.